Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM.
What's not spoken about as much is when the social nervous system, that first rung of the ladder, when that's under threat. And so that's really what I think is kind of the missing link in a lot of money conversations.
So what do you know about the social nervous system? Our guest in this episode, Hadley Hagen, is a nervous system educator and money coach, and explains that she believes your social nervous system is the missing piece in making sustainable changes in your money life. So what does that mean? Think about all those interactions online and offline that influence how you save and spend your money. What's at play? You guessed it, your social nervous system.
When you try to override with like a budget or a strategy and a lot of things that traditional personal finance tells you is the right thing to do, it won't work because the root is that your social nervous system, your nervous system is kicking up into a response that will protect you, but doesn't necessarily align with the part of your brain, that executive functioning part of your brain that is in charge of budgeting and following that as a plan.
Curious, isn't it? So let's talk about this. Let's talk about what your social nervous system is, how it gets activated, ways you can proactively calm your social nervous system down, and why the social nervous system disproportionately affects women. There's a lot to dive into here. Let's get talking. Welcome to Everyone's Talking Money podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Game. There's no judgment, no dumb questions, just smart conversations about you and your money. So come on in and grab a seat. Everyone is welcome here. sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle, full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. "Talkin' Money" under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Elton John here. Throughout my U.S. tour last year, we heard from thousands of fans that financial security and financial planning are hugely important to them. So important that David and I are continuing this vital conversation into 2023. Together with the Alliance for Lifetime Income, I'm spreading the word about the importance of protected income, which is money you're guaranteed to get. Like me, I'm sure you have big plans for your next chapter. Protected income from an annuity helps ensure you have all your bases covered so you can have the financial freedom to tick off your bucket list. The first step is to decide what's on your bucket list. Then meet with your financial advisor to ask if you have protected income and get their help making a plan that fits your unique financial goals. Join me and my friends at the Alliance for Lifetime Income. Together, we can help make financial freedom in retirement a reality for more Americans, starting with you. Go to protectedincome.org today.
You know, we've done a lot of shows on this podcast about mental health and kind of all different topics around mental health. Everything from, you know, anxiety, how to train your brain to reach money goals. But we've never actually chatted about something that's very interesting, which is why you're here. It's this idea of your social nervous system and how that's connected to money. I've got a lot of questions for you. So, you know, just to start us off, Hadley, like, what in the world is our social nervous system and how does this thing work?
Yeah, our social nervous system is like the first rung of the ladder of our nervous system. And when we feel safe, it's really this abundance zone for us. And it's where we can access new possibilities and brainstorm and connect with people and really in this zone where we feel the most ourselves. But when we sense a threat, often then you hear about going into fight mode or flight mode in the sympathetic nervous system, which is kind of the next rung. And then also the third rung is going more into the parasympathetic nervous system, which is normally known as the rest and digest, but also is a part of protecting yourself from a threat when you go into the freeze response. But what's not spoken about as much is when the social nervous system, that first rung of the ladder, when that's under threat. And so that's really what I think is kind of the missing link in a lot of money conversations, because this social nervous system is really this part of connecting with other people and sensing, do I fit in here? Do I belong? And then really can impact unconsciously how we behave in our relationships and how we behave with money as well and what decisions we make with money. And the thing that is so important about talking about this is not only that it's unconscious. So if you go into one of these responses of the social nervous system, which we can talk about, it's not you're choosing. It's not that you're choosing it, but it's automatic. So really when you try to override with like a budget or a strategy and a lot of things that traditional personal finance tells you is the right thing to do, it won't work because the root is that your social nervous system, your nervous system is kicking up into a response that will protect you, but doesn't necessarily align with the part of your brain, that executive functioning part of your brain that is in charge of budgeting and following that as a plan. So I'm all for budgets as well, but I think it has to go hand in hand with this nervous system work, and especially for women, the social nervous system, because it disproportionately affects women as it was developed as a part of the bonding between mothers and their children as forming that safe attachment. So that can really affect women in how they interact with money.
Mm. Oh, tell me a little bit more about that, because I think that's really fascinating, you know, that it affects women more because of this bonding. Like, I dive into that a little bit more for me.
Yeah. Well, because of the as women and being disproportionately impacted because of how it developed to connect with children, then that is a part of kind of how women walk through the world a little bit more of looking at how am I fitting in, or how am I accepted, or how am I in this larger system of the people around us? And you'll hear a lot of women say, oh, I'm an empath, or I'm highly sensitive. And I really see that as being connected to this social nervous system aspect of really being able to scan the environment and understand maybe the unsaid things of the room. So it really can be a superpower as women, because we maybe are more attuned to the connection between people and with other people. But on the flip side of that, it also maybe means that you might be more self-conscious or insecure about, oh, am I fitting in, or am I accepted? And then that can impact your money. I think a big way is around earning. So not wanting to rock the boat when it would come to asking for something that you want at work, whether that's a pay increase, a new position, more time off. Or I think also in terms of spending, if you maybe feel like you need to go above and beyond and pay for everyone because you want everyone to love and accept you, or you feel like that's a way that you can belong is by being really generous and paying for others. Another way is maybe that even kind of brings in some codependency, where you then are so aware of the needs of everyone else around you that you put those before your own and end up deprioritizing your own financial needs before and paying for everyone else.
You are like definitely speaking my language right now and speaking to me directly, because I am, I think anybody listening who might know me is like, oh, that pretty much is Shauna. I've always been told that I'm a bit of like an intuit, and that I am a bit of an empath, and I can really feel other people's feelings. And sometimes people will say to me, and my husband and I, we have this conversation all the time, and he's like, well, if I'm in a bad mood, why do you have to be in a bad mood too? And I'm like, I don't know how to explain it to you. It just like, it feels like part of my DNA. But, you know, it's interesting when you're talking about this and kind of how this model of a person shows up. You know, when I was little, I got this idea that that money was about status, right? You needed to have all these things and like drive a nice car and like live in a nice house, and that it was very much like a status kind of statement. And, you know, as a kid, I did a lot of things to like try and be the, you know, quote unquote, like, you know, cool girl or the one that everybody wanted to be friends with. And I didn't know at the time, because I was so young, that, you know, that's what I was doing, you know, and the reason why I was doing it was because I had this kind of money story that was passed down to me. And I was just kind of modeling what I saw. So I think it's really interesting when you talk about this idea of a social nervous system and how that then, you know, kind of I guess helps us show up in the world. And you know, I'm thinking that also I would imagine that you feel a lot of this in your body, but because a lot of it is kind of subconscious or unconscious, like you're not really conscious of, you know, or have a good idea, I should say, of like what's going on. Like, I think when I get scared or nervous about money and I'm paying attention, like my heart rate speeds up and, you know, my hands get, you know, kind of sweaty, and I don't feel good. So, you know, I'm wondering, when somebody's in this place of the social nervous system kind of acting up, like what's really happening with our bodies? Like, is there a way for us to be aware that, okay, we're actually like in this state and we need to pay attention to it?
Yeah. So when the heart rate really kicks up and maybe your breathing shortens, that's really getting into that sympathetic nervous system, really into the fight mode or the flight mode as well. So these things don't necessarily happen separately, right? We can kind of ebb and flow between these nervous system states, and a healthy nervous system does that, right? It's not like we don't ever want to get into the sympathetic, and it's just that we don't want to get stuck. And
right. Which happens, yeah, so, a lot of the time. And I would imagine for like everybody listening, they get stuck there.
Yeah. And I think in our culture, the sympathetic nervous system, like that fight mode, is what is really put up on a pedestal, right? And I think, just kind of playing with it here, I think as a part of the social nervous system, when you see other people that are like always pushing and always like going after the next goal. Or I remember when I was in my corporate job, everyone else ate lunch at their desk and while working. And right. I was like, no, I am like taking a walk and I'm eating away from my screen. But there was a part of me that was like, I am being a rebel right now because I'm not working through lunch. And how might that make me feel if I'm not in that pushing and that drive of the sympathetic fight mode all the time, and I'm taking time to get outside and reset? And I think that's like one reason I'm so passionate about sharing this with people, is because I think the norm of whether you're at work or your friends or kind of like there is such a emphasis on pushing so much that it can feel rebellious to do your own thing and to say like, okay, even though I notice this desire to fit in, which is a part of the social nervous system. There's two responses when you're feeling under threat in the social nervous system. It's fitting in and fawning. So fitting in is pretty clear. Like you just kind of do whatever you can to belong in amongst a certain group of people. And if you think about it, you know, like many, many years ago, if you didn't fit in with your tribe, well, yeah, then you weren't safe. You could have, you know, not had your basic needs met. But nowadays it's different, but it can be a maladaptive part of the nervous system to not necessarily understand modern times. Like our nervous system is kind of stuck in those prehistoric times right. A little bit. So we just having that like understanding of how our responses are can be really helpful. So yeah, there's the fitting in response and then the fawning response, which is they're closely tied, but fawning is more like when you just want to appease the threat or people around you so that you can be accepted and feel safe. So it's not ever rocking the boat. It's putting everyone's needs before you. And it's doing that as a way to find safety. But as like a huge cost is like you lose touch with your own voice. You lose touch with your needs.
Yeah. I'm stuck in fawning. It feels like all the time. I mean, it's weird because when you talk about kind of these different, you know, fitting in and fawning and all these different things, it feels to me, I don't know if this is the same experience to you, but it feels like something that's just second nature, almost like I can't control it. You know, it's really interesting when you feel like something is like so much a part of you. But when you talk about this idea of fitting in, I'm thinking, you know, particularly when it comes to our money, that, you know, when we're in this place and our social nervous system is activated, you know, this might be right why we make certain decisions with our money that we know maybe aren't good for us or maybe are, you know, at the detriment of some of the other things that we want to do, like some of the goals we're trying to get to or whatever it might be. And so we can get off track, I would imagine, pretty easily. Like, tell me a little bit about how it then comes in and really kind of impacts, you know, what's happening with our money.
Yeah. Well, I think one classic example could look like the keeping up with the Joneses, right? So maybe racking up debt to buy certain clothes or a car or a house to have that status to appear a certain way. So that's one way. I think also it's paying for people when you don't actually have the money to pay for other people. It could look like I've heard from my clients that when they have money, they just want to give it away because they see other people need it more than they do. And it's like, well, I have more than I need in this moment. So I'm not going to save. I'm not going to invest because these other people need it more. And my money can go further now if I just help them. And it's really, I think, a way to move out of that one in particular is seeing how we are a part of a larger system and putting the weight of the world on ourselves as individuals is a lot to carry and not the way that we can really make the biggest impact. So there's that flip side also of, I think, recognizing that that's like a really like genuine and good characteristic and way of being, but your strategy for taking action on that could be more successful if you're able to meet your own needs first.
Yeah. Okay. So you talk about strategy. So I'm interested in this. If we're in a place where we know we can figure out that the social nervous system is activated and maybe we're making certain decisions, how can we kind of proactively work to change this or like catch ourselves in these moments so that you know, maybe we make decisions that are going to help us and not hurt us along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think just having this awareness of fitting in and fawning and just knowing when you're doing it and not making yourself wrong, but just noticing this is like an unconscious pattern that I have. And excuse me, and just noticing this is an unconscious pattern that I have, so that then when there's awareness, then there's opportunity to make a new choice going forward. And a lot of the time it could be seeking out support from other like-minded people that maybe are experiencing it, or confiding in someone about it, saying, hey, I really notice that at work I'm like putting the needs of everyone else on the team before me, and that's really affecting my ability to show up as my best self and really not burn out and be able to keep performing at this level. And I think coming together, and instead of having to have shame around that, like hide that and make it seem like something's wrong about you, connecting with other people first way to remove some of the shame, because shame is really when you make something that's wrong about you, and then that kind of pulls you away and more isolation and kind of just sitting in that. So hearing this new information, or kind of hearing it in a new way, isn't then to use it as a way to judge yourself, but it's a way to then see like, oh, I'm like fawning, or I'm fitting in, and then connecting with someone like, hey, this is what I'm doing. Have you noticed this? Does this happen to you? I think that's a really good first place to start. But then also, I believe that having that strategy side of it is also helpful. So for example, if you tend to pay for other people when you don't have the money, like, okay, having the awareness that you do that and that's a response of the nervous system, great. Kind of next level is maybe you set a budget where this is the amount of money I actually have to pay for a gift or pay for my friends for the month, and just set that intention of staying within that for the month and practice what you're going to say. If it gets to a point where you feel like you might come into that situation again and you might have that unconscious behavior where you pay for everyone, practice ahead of time, like have a script of what you plan to say. And even if that means you have to have someone help you write it, so you feel prepared before you go into it, because it's really about setting ourselves up for success. It's not like, oh, okay, I'm going to do something different this time, but I don't know what I'm going to do. It's like, just make it really clear about what you're going to say. And then also in terms of like giving, if you find yourself like you're giving money away to a lot of people, or like you get overwhelmed when people come to you for...
I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me, and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. That's monarchmoney.com/etm for your extended 30-day free trial.
For charity or donations, create a giving plan and say, okay, I'm going to give away X number of dollars per month or this year, and this is my priority of who I'm giving it to. So when someone comes to you and they say, hey, do you want to donate to this cause that, you know, then they pull at your heartstrings and like, you really want to, but you can say that I really would love to. And I see the value in this cause. And I will write that down for my giving plan for the future. But this year I'm prioritizing X, Y, and Z. So really just having a little bit of structure around some of these things that you know you do. So it's just, yeah, first step obviously is that awareness, and then thinking ahead of time to set yourself up for success. So you're not relying on yourself in the moment to do something different, but you have a plan and you have some of that structure and strategy in place.
Yeah, I really like that, the idea of kind of like creating parameters for yourself where you can feel like you could be successful. I like to do a annual spending plan, and I'm definitely not the like budget making person, because I feel like they're flawed, and the reason they don't work is just we get into all the nervous system kind of levels, and you know, it's just I think something that in our society kind of has this bad rap, and it's like hard for us to kind of get around it. So I like this idea of creating an annual spending plan where you like thoroughly write out all of these things like you're talking about. You know, if I'm someone who wants to give to charity, or maybe I do want to take, you know, my friends or my family out for, you know, a couple meals, you know, what does that look like? And how can I break that down in a way that I feel like I can achieve that without having to kind of micromanage my money? But I think what you're saying too is that, you know, it gets you in the right mindset that you can still do the things that you love, but you can do them within kind of this bubble or these parameters that are also going to work with your money, and in turn going to just help your body and yourself feel like it's, you know, kind of a good comfy place. And, you know, I would imagine that you do this work because I would imagine you probably have experienced a lot of what you're talking about here, like your own social nervous system kind of getting activated, and then you probably seen how that interacts with your own money. I'd love for you to tell us a little bit, Hadley, like about your own money story and kind of how you came to this idea of connecting the social nervous system with money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just want to add one more thing is like when you're talking about the spending plan, that's no different than boundary setting. Right. And it's like, I feel like it's pretty popular right now in like personal development to like learn how to set boundaries. And that's exactly what a spending plan is with your money. It's just like a relationship. So just thinking of it that way, I think can be helpful too, is like, oh, this is almost a boundary setting with money or a boundary setting within myself, which can really feel like very much like you have your own back in a really confidence building way. But yeah, I'd love to share a little bit about my story. And yeah, the social nervous system has played like a huge role in my life, and I didn't even know it, you know? So I was really, I think a very common story that we hear a lot is like the good girl conditioning, the people pleasing. So just the dynamic that I had in my family is I was the good girl, and I felt really like I had to be perfect and was very high achieving and very much learned to identify myself with external achievements. And in school, you know, from kindergarten on, that meant getting straight A's and then getting a job and landing that right away. And then that the grades just kind of translate to money, right? Is like, okay, now I'm getting an A if I'm making a lot of money, and if I'm really excelling in a career that looks very impressive to other people. And I think that that is really the path I followed. And I think it's hard because there are a lot of people that have can struggle with even getting education and then even landing the job that I had. And so I have this like internal conflict within myself sometimes of I had these things that so many people want, and then even getting to the place where I had checked off these boxes of what our culture tells us will bring us success and happiness. Dang, like that's not even it. And especially because if you're doing it from a place where it's outside of yourself, like I was, where I had these interests and things that I didn't pursue, and then through the social nervous system and always looking outside myself as to how can I people please and how can I get the job that will impress my parents and how can I make my boss really happy at work. So everything started to be about how can I make the people outside of me happy? And the thing is, though, is I'm not even saying that's the highest cost that I paid. The highest cost that I paid was losing track of what I actually wanted. Because the process of learning how to make decisions about my life based off of what other people wanted me to do, I never learned how to figure out what I want and then if that will even make me happy. And I think that's really the biggest cost, is Like, I think it's pretty normal. Like, my story isn't that unique. Like, it's really normal to, I think, as women to be looking outside ourselves, kind of do the traditional thing, da, 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 da. But it's like, okay, all right, got that. How do I now figure out what I actually want? And I think.
Yeah, that's tough, right?
It is tough. Yeah, it's tough. And I think that it's also like just a part of life. And I think money can play a big role in it, right? Because like the undercurrent of that whole thing about appeasing other people is also that has a financial reward to it. When you are following the rules, there are a lot of benefits to that. Like, okay, a good girl starts investing in her 401k the minute she gets a job. Even if you don't know what it is, that's just what you're supposed to do. So I did that, right? Like, you're supposed to stay in a job and not quit and like stick with it, because you can't quit if you don't have a job lined up already. Just like some of these really big narratives that I just was like, okay, that's how it is. I need to follow that. It did bring about rewards because I was playing by the rules. It brought about external rewards, but there wasn't a lot of like internal happiness and satisfaction and joy. And so I think that that's really what I come back to now, is I think that money can be used to create a life that you love. And you can make transitions in your life if you have a story similar to mine, or even if it's different, but your relationship with money isn't one that is leading to a life that you love and that you enjoy waking up to. I believe like there are ways to take steps to transform those things so that you can be in a place where everything feels more authentic to you. But it does just come back to that authenticity and learning from an early age to sacrifice authenticity for safety, for connection, for fitting in. And then that translates to money.
It's so interesting as you talk about this idea of like rules, right? I'm using like air quotes around rules. And I'm always like, who made up these rules? Where's the rule book that we, especially as women, that we're all, you know, following? Yeah, that you just kind of have to stick through things, and that you have to make other people's happiness more paramount to your own happiness. And it really takes a while to try to even unravel that. And, you know, certainly something we're talking about on the pod a lot this year is this idea of authenticity and happiness. And what is it really? And, you know, how do we move through kind of all of the messaging that's just happening out in the world, that's kind of coming at us all the time, that feels really hard, especially with money, to just kind of like trudge through? And one of those things, because we do live in a very kind of scarcity driven society. I think you talked about this a little bit earlier. We're just constantly getting the messages that we don't have enough, that we aren't enough, that we have to be something different or make more money or have a different career or whatever it might be, that it's really hard to make that choice of like, yeah, I'm actually happy, or I actually feel good where I am. And so I feel like a lot of us operate a lot of the time in states of fear, just, you know, to whatever varying degree around money. And I'm wondering, you know, when we're in a fear state, particularly around money, do you have any tips or ideas for us? Like, how can we recognize that we're in a fear state and maybe start to even recenter ourselves, just so that when we make a decision around money in particular, we aren't making it from this kind of fear perspective?
Yeah, I think what you mentioned earlier is tapping into those sensations. So noticing, okay, my heart's pounding, my throat's tightening up, my breath is changing. Or if you're defaulting more into a freeze response, like you're shutting down, you're getting really tired. If you're noticing that you're having a conversation about money and that those sensations are happening in your body, the skill of recognizing those sensations is called interoception or mindfulness. Ooh, and okay.
I've never heard that term before.
Yeah, it's like the
introceptiveness. Wait, say it again one more time.
Interoception. Yeah. Yeah, it's that ability to kind of know how you are feeling inside from the inside out. And so it's building that skill, because then you notice like, okay, I'm shutting down right now. This is not the time to have this conversation with money, about money. So it's really, if it's with another person, it's taking a step away. And I think you also like learn about yourself. Like, okay, if every time you look at your bank balance, you feel yourself kind of have anxiety, how can you plan ahead to set yourself up for success? Because, okay, you know you're going to respond that way. How can you do things that will just make you feel more comforted? Maybe that's having another person there to help you, like a coach or a friend. Maybe that's creating, or like for a spending plan, like if the idea of creating a spending plan like makes you freaked out, how can you like take yourself out on a date to your favorite restaurant and make your spending plan at the restaurant? Like, how can you do these things where you can bring in some of the really feel good sensations and things you like to do with some of the more difficult stuff around money? So it doesn't always have to be like hard. How can you, even if it's like lighting a candle or kind of setting the mood to be relaxed, you know? So that's like another thing to do is like, A, that interoception, B, setting yourself up for success and like bringing some of those like feel good, more pleasurable things into the setting with money. And then also, I think then when you feel yourself coming back into more of a neutral state, it's just looking at what's the next best thing that I can do. You don't have to look at everything. Like, you don't have to like tackle everything at once, but a lot of the times overwhelm is what's setting our nervous system into an activated state, because it feels like you have to do everything. But really it's like, what's the next best thing? And that momentum will help mobilize you out of a threatened response, of a response where you don't feel safe, and into actually the healthy sympathetic nervous system, because that's where like a lot of drive and motivation come from, is in that fight response when it's healthy. And then also the ability to like discern and make decisions is the healthy part of the flight response. So it's really being able to mobilize and take action, even if it's just one thing at a time. So those are a few things to keep in mind when you feel like you might be activated. I love that.
Yeah, I love that, because, you know, we traditionally talk about money like, oh, we got to have these like big goals and like these big, big things. But really what I found myself after working with clients for 10 plus years and with, you know, over 900 interviews on this show, is it really is like the secret of success is really these small, like moment to moment choices and decisions and thoughts and things that you're doing. That's really what is going to kind of get you to that place you want to go. And I'm just so happy that, you know, you've been here and kind of introduced this idea of social nervous system. I certainly have never thought about it from this perspective. And now I can see like, oh, okay, yeah, I do that. And so, you know, I think for me, it's like, it's going back to this idea of moment by moment and kind of setting up these parameters for success. And I'm wondering, you know, if we could just take away like one action step or one thought pattern or something you really want us to remember about this idea of our central nervous system and, you know, how this impacts our money, what would you want us to remember?
Compassion, I think, is the most important thing to remember. And just knowing that there are a lot of things that are unconscious in our decision-making and behaviors with money, that if you come at them with this like aggressive, intense approach, that actually won't help you move forward. It's really softening and having that compassion and building up more of a fault tolerance. So if you make a mistake, you know that you can move forward and learn from that, and that you can have a growth mindset around it, that your past doesn't predict your future. Like, you can take what you've learned and know that you are only going to be better because of that. And so I think building up that fault tolerance of, hey, it's okay that like I maybe didn't have this figured out on the first go. And that's really going to expand your nervous system's capacity to do more. Because if you are really hard on yourself and just knock yourself down, that's not really going to start to create a more healthy relationship with money. But when things happen, if you are able to start with that compassion and attune to your nervous system state. So that's really how I see compassion, is having that interoception and then doing what you need to do for your body in the moment to bring yourself back to a place of safety before moving forward. So that is kind of, yeah, the compassion is the most important thing when you are truly ready to make changes with your money, because without that, it's really not worth doing.
This message is really powerful that Hadley wants you to remember, to tell your nervous system that everything is okay. Your mistakes around money, those are okay. You don't have to live in fear or regret. And for all of those fellow people pleasers out there, just like me, you can let go of pleasing everyone for everything. If you want to connect with Hadley, you can go to her Instagram profile at had.hagen, or you can go to her website, hadleyhagen.com, where you can learn all about her events and coaching. So if you enjoyed this episode, share it with 5 friends right now who also need to really understand how their social nervous system works. As always, you can head to the show notes for all the links to our episode guest, as well as the sponsors who make this show possible. I'll see you back here in a few days for a brand new episode.
We've all spent more time with family lately. It can feel like old times, but your mind is on the future too, and what you can do to shape it. At Sandy Spring Bank, we work with clients to help them grow and protect their money with wealth management, trust services, and insurance, so they can enjoy today and ultimately pass along their wealth. We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about your dreams. Visit sandyspringbank.com/wealth. Wealth and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not guaranteed, and may lose value.